Hello, this is the Angry GM, and it is time for the final January proofread aloud, which I have entitled Ask Angry, Oh No, More XP System Nonsense. In the not-too-distant past, in one of my Ask Angry columns, I was called on to compare and contrast different experience point award systems by one Ideasmith. Specifically, the Smith asked me to compare the modern approach of doling out XP based on the challenges on the players overcoming and bypassing challenges to the older school approach of giving the players XP based on how much treasure they lug home from their dungeon delves. I described the former as challenge-based XP and the latter as gold for XP. As an aside, I also talked about goal-based XP, where the players earn experience points by accomplishing in-game goals. I also talked about milestone XP, which is technically goal-based XP, and fiat XP, which is what everyone thinks milestone XP is, even though it isn't. All of that sparked a lot of discussion, both in the comment section and in the Angry Discord server, available to those generous folks whose financial support is the only reason I'm able to keep cranking this bullshit out. Thanks for that. I even got a few follow-ups in my Ask Angry mailbox. By the way, if you want to submit a question for a future Ask Angry column, send it to ask.angry@angry.games. Don't forget to tell me what to call you in a way that'll hold up against the inevitable doxing lawsuit you'll file when you don't like my answer or my tone. Since this was a hot topic, I'm going to reopen it and respond to a few of the questions, criticisms, and curses I got. Sort of. I'm not going to do the normal Ideasmith asks thing, since lots of you raised the same points and asked the same questions and cursed at me for the same reasons. I'm just going to hit a few of the highlights. Also, I'm not going to rehash the original column. Go read it if you haven't already. It's called Ask Angry Gold for XP. Now, on with the show. Gold for XP is stupid, and so are you. Let me address first the most common criticism I heard of my original column. Several of you pointed out that gold for XP is a dumbass term, and I was a dumbass for using it. For the first time in the nearly two decades that I've been publishing this shit online, I'm going to take one on the chin. That criticism is totally valid. It's a stupid name. I should have called it XP for gold. Or really, I should have called it treasure-based XP or some shit like that. So, you dickweeds who fought me on my points, you win this one. Savor it, though, because it's the only win you're taking today. Taking shit too far. Despite my tone there, I actually don't intend to spend the next few thousand words yelling at all y'all about how you're wrong and stupid and all that. In fact, there's only one counterpoint I want to raise directly. I'll get to it in a minute. I made my points pretty well the first time around, and I'm happy to let them stand. Any remaining disagreement is your own stupid problem. That said, deeply overthinking game mechanics, game design, and the psychology of play to empower myself and the thousands of masochists I've Stockholmed into consuming my work regularly? That's kind of my thing. If you ask me a question like, what are the benefits of such and this over this and that? I'm going to start punching the crap out of that question, and I'm going to keep right on punching until I've punched my fists raw. I don't stop mid-assault just because the target's dead. See, I don't start anything I can't finish to component atoms. Hold that point for a sec. I'll explain why I'm making it in a moment. Now, When you hit me with a question, I tend to keep my answer within a pretty specific context. If you ask me, for example, about the game design of Dungeons & Dragons, I'll answer with an eye toward system-level design that works for all the different playstyles I think D&D is meant to capture based on how it describes itself in its core materials. Absent instructions to the contrary, I'll also assume we're always talking about the current edition. Obviously, I won't cling to that context when it's the wrong one. Ask me something like, I'm running an old-school faction-based hex crawl and I was considering treasure-based XP, how can I use it best? And I'll give a very different answer than I gave Ideasmith. Probably I'll say something like, I cannot in good conscience help you do something so utterly depraved to innocent players, and any further attempts to contact me will be treated as harassment. Good day, sir. Except lots of you know even that's not true. I might put out a disclaimer if I think something's truly likely to backfire, but I have shocked the hell out of people by giving them good advice about running games that I would never, ever run myself. I once spent 2 hours showing someone how the best way to run a Students of Hogwarts campaign was using Fate of all things. I shit you not. And my advice was great. Here's my point, though. This analysis shit can be helpful, but it ain't everything. My analyses are totally factually, axiomatically correct, but that doesn't mean they'll make you happiest. There's always room for other value propositions and preferences. Moreover, there's a point of diminishing returns in all of this crap. All the time lost to research and the mental energy and anxiety that comes with it turning everything up, down, and sideways doesn't always move the game feel needle that much. Will you ruin your game by not using the objective best XP system? Fuck no. Your players probably won't even care. That said, this stuff does matter. That's why I consider it my job to do the research and burn the mental energy and spend the sleepless nights worrying over all these questions so you don't have to. Then I can just deliver to you the bestest, lowest friction solution possible. There's a difference between academic analysis, like I do on request, and actually making and running games. Hell, I don't think this hard about what I do at my own game table. I run on vibes. In fact, most of the shit I write is about using research and analysis to figure out why my vibes are right so I'm justified in sharing them, or else to discover they're wrong so I can replace them. So take all this analysis in the spirit it's intended. I'm overthinking shit to an excessive degree to give the correctest answer because I'm basically a dancing monkey who can't say no to anyone who flings an interesting enough question at me, especially if they're paying me on Patreon or Subscribestar because dancing monkeys need bananas. Anyway, no, it does not encourage exploration or resourcefulness. Now for the one actual factual counterpoint I'm allowing myself in this follow-up. It's a counter I've already pointed out in comments, emails, on social media, and in my Discord, so all I'm doing is making it official and parking it somewhere I can point at later. As I said above, this shit's all cold objective analysis. If you disagree with me and you don't want to fight, all you have to do is admit you're just stating a preference. If you say, I like it this way, or my group and I have done it this way for years and it's easier to keep doing it than change it even if there is a better way, or I don't think it's better enough to be worth the effort, I'm done. I might tell you that your tastes suck and you like shitty things, but that's not an argument. That's just me being an asshole, and I'm an asshole even to people who agree with me. You see, I firmly believe that the customer is always right in matters of taste, which, by the way, is the actual quote. Everyone forgets the last part, and it's really important. The minute, however, you make a factual claim to back up your opinion or to convince others that your stupid-ass opinion is superior, it's my job to come in with the punching and the not-stopping in component atoms. At least if it's on my site or in my Discord or whatever. Even then, I actually will stop fighting the moment you say, I really don't want to debate this anymore. Can we just accept we don't agree? And then as long as you stop fighting, I'll stop fighting. Everyone forgets that part too, and it's really important. Honestly, the reason why I even addressed the whole stupid gold for XP or XP for gold or whatever thing at all is because shortly before I published that, I'd gotten drawn into several screaming matches in a few different places over the whole thing. I didn't actually realize it was something people felt so damned passionately attached to. I heard a few factual claims, I made counterpoints, politely even, and then I got slammed for it. And people wouldn't stop slamming me even when I said, whoa, okay, I didn't know this was a hill you thought was worth being reduced to component atoms on. You can have the hill, I'll leave you to it. Please let me retreat. So, there's this factual claim that certain beardy grognards and certain snot-nosed Nouveau SR brats keep making about XP for gold at me that I have to counter because it's actually, factually, provably wrong. XP for gold does not, by its nature, encourage exploration or clever resource management or the circumvention of obstacles. That claim is false. Please stop emailing me, you jackass. XP for gold encourages precisely one thing by its nature. It encourages the acquisition of gold. That's the only incentive it creates. Any knock-on effect on the activities the players undertake or their approach to gameplay is down to where you, the game master, put the gold and how you create your challenges. XP for gold only encourages exploration if you put the gold in places that need to be explored and make it hard to find. XP for gold only encourages clever resource management because the better you manage your resources, the farther you can go and the more gold you can find in the same period of time. XP for gold only encourages players to bypass encounters instead of taking them head on, insofar as you make it possible to sweep all the gold into a sack and run away without dealing with the obstacles. XP for gold isn't doing the heavy lifting there. If you replaced the gold with XP awards for getting to certain locations in the dungeon, which is basically XP for gold without the gold, you'd have the same effect. My players do a crap ton of exploring, even though they get XP for challenges. You know why? It's because I put the challenges in places that need to be explored and make them hard to find. My players manage their resources and find clever ways to avoid overexertion because that lets them overcome more challenges in the same period of time on the same resource pool. It's the same shit, except my players don't have to grub for pennies to level up. They're also allowed to be do-gooders or honor seekers or explorers for exploration's sake because I prefer my players to play characters I want to cheer for instead of plundering murder hobos. That said, I don't encourage my players to avoid combat and circumvent every challenge. I could. I wouldn't have to change my XP system at all. They get XP for overcoming or bypassing challenges by any means they can. That's what the rules say. I just make sure they have to tackle most of those challenges head on because that's what we find fun. One of the reasons why combat and combat XP started to dominate Dungeons & Dragons is because most players like to fight monsters. That's part of the whole fantasy adventure thing. Most players don't want to slink through every dungeon like thieves in the night trying to avoid attention. If you and your players do, good for you. But if you were in the majority, D&D wouldn't have evolved the way it did. Sorry. But that's not my counterpoint. My counterpoint is that XP for gold does not by its nature encourage any specific kind of gameplay other than grabbing all the gold. Any exploration that happens as a result of resource, I flipped my clauses around there. I'm a little tired out from reading that. Okay, I went a little overboard there. But that's not my counterpoint. My counterpoint is that XP for gold does not, by its nature, encourage any specific kind of gameplay other than grabbing all the gold. Any exploration that happens or resource management as a result is about where you put the gold and how you build the obstacles, and switching XP systems won't change that. Why make goal-based XP secondary to challenge-based XP. Buckle up, kids, because we're diving deep into overthinking analysis again. So remember what I said above, okay? In my previous column, I talked about combining goal-based XP and challenge-based XP. Specifically, I said it's best from a gameplay perspective for the players to primarily advance from overcoming challenges and to supplement that with bonus advancement for accomplishing their goals. Several of you asked me why it isn't the other way around. To explain that, I first got to explain why challenge-based XP and gold-based XP, goal-based, not gold-based. Shit, I misread that. I wrote it right. To explain that, that's why I didn't call it gold-based XP. Because I would have killed the proofread aloud. I would have been correcting myself the whole time. Which I do now anyway, but I'm not, at least it's not that. To explain that, I first got to explain why challenge-based XP and goal-based XP are the right approaches at all. To explain that, I first got to explain why challenge-based XP and goal-based XP are the right approaches at all. And that's down to what games actually fundamentally are. A game is a voluntary leisure activity with structured rules in which the player participants try to accomplish a goal while overcoming one or more challenges. Or, to put that in a less up-my-own-ass kind of way, to have a game, you need at least one goal, at least one challenge, and some rules. Of course, I've said that 11 billion friggin' times on my site by now. I've also said that role-playing game systems aren't actually games. They're game engines. D&D is like Super Mario Maker. It's not a game, it's a tool for making games. The actual game parts of the game are the adventures and campaigns people play. So, D&D, as a game engine, must define a set of rules that work for all the kinds of games anyone might expect to play, run, or make with D&D. The list of kinds of games D&D lets you play and make is something the designers settle on. If they're smart, they settle on the list based on what they think the sort of people who would buy a game called D&D want from it. If they're smart, they also describe the kinds of games D&D lets you make and play in the introductory chapters and in the blurbs on the back of the books and boxes and all that shit, which they do. So here I am, a hypothetical D&D designer. One thing I've got to design is an advancement system. I need a way for characters to level up because I have decided that that's a thing characters do in D&D. Part of the whole fantasy adventure quest thing is getting more powerful the more you adventure. I want D&D to be approachable, and so I want to lower the friction as much as possible for any game master of any experience level. Therefore, I don't want to provide a giant menu of different possible systems and options game masters can choose from. I want one nice, universal advancement system that'll pretty much work across all the different kinds of D&D that I've decided to support. At most, I'll add a few minor variants and tweaks game masters can fiddle with. Whether you personally like this fact or not, and regardless of whether you think it's a good idea, D&D is designed to satisfy a broad range of player motivations within the sphere of fantasy adventure gaming. Now, contrary to what many dumbasses scream, it's not designed to be all things to all people, and it's not designed for the lowest common denominator, and it's not dumbed down for mouth-breathing video gamers, and saying shit like that just makes you sound like a complete fucking moron. Sorry, I'm still getting used to this whole not arguing with hypothetical people thing. Just bear with me. My point is, I'm trying to build an advancement system for a game-making engine that allows for a broad range of fantasy adventure quest games. What can I count on happening at every table? I can count on challenges and goals. If those don't exist, you don't even have a game. Now, don't at me. I do know some people actually play RPGs without challenges or goals. They play slice of like, fuck around and find out horse shit. Those aren't games, and they're not even experiences that D&D claims to offer. I know, I checked the books. If you personally want to use your D&D game system to do that crap because it's fun to you, go right ahead. You bought the game. You can do whatever you want, and you can like whatever you want. The customer is always right in matters of taste. But the product wasn't actually designed for you, and it absolutely shouldn't be redesigned for you unless the designers are willing to drop the word game from the cover. Anyway, challenges and goals are both great potential elements to hang an advancement system off of. Whatever else anyone's doing with my D&D game engine, if they're following the basic directions and running anything that counts as a D&D game, the players are facing challenges and achieving goals. That's what I can reward. So why are challenges better as the primary driver of advancement? There are actually several reasons. The biggest and bestest reason to dole out XP for overcoming challenges over accomplishing goals is that the players are facing challenges all the time. In fact, that's primarily what they're doing when they play the game. Overcoming challenges is gameplay. Accomplishing goals is winning. Rewarding the players for beating challenges let them experience constant incremental progress toward advancement by playing the game. It lets them watch a meter fill until they finally ding a level. That's also why it's best to give out XP at the end of every session, even if the players can't level up mid-adventure. Goals are knocked down sporadically, and worse, from a system design perspective, they're knocked down at an unpredictable rate. Players may tick off goals only every second or third or fourth session or whatever, depending on what the game master is doing. I just don't know. But I do know challenges are happening constantly, or nearly constantly. So I let challenge-based XP drive most of the advancement. Additionally, in most role-playing games, the way most people play and run them, ticking off goals usually comes with some mix of extrinsic and intrinsic rewards. Saving the kidnapped princess is intrinsically rewarding because that's how you win the adventure, and winning feels good. It may also be extrinsically rewarding because the king will probably give you some money or a land grant or something. It's actually very natural to design an adventure game by coming up with a goal, offering a reward, and dropping challenges in the way. It doesn't get much easier than that, and most game masters will just go that route naturally. I don't need to explain it. Since most game masters are likely to match up goals with rewards already, I don't need to attach an advancement reward to ensure beating goals feels good. I can and I should, but I need to recognize that any advancement reward is probably going to get mixed in with a pile of other rewards. By the same token, challenges aren't guaranteed by their nature to come with rewards. Some monsters have treasure, and some traps protect magic swords, and some NPCs will give you prizes if you overcome their social challenges. But lots of monsters don't have treasure, and lots of hazards and obstacles are just in the way. The only reward for overcoming them is the chance to keep playing the game. Just like I, the hypothetical D&D system designer, have no idea how often the game master is going to let his players tick off goals, I also don't know how many encounters the game master is going to build other rewards into. So instead of writing instructions to lock game masters into writing games that conform to a specific style, I just attach most of the XP to encounters to smooth out the lack of reward, and because I know that's the primary gameplay activity, and I want XP to come at a constant incremental rate. Meanwhile, I trust most game masters to make goals feel rewarding to accomplish, but I can't predict how often those goals will come, so I attach a little extra XP there as gravy. Now, does all of that mean I would do anything differently if I weren't building a system and were instead just running my own home game, especially if I'm the sort of sexy gaming genius that can analyze systems to this obsessive degree? Actually, no. What's better than challenge-based XP? One follow-up question I got from several of y'all, including the OP of the day, Idea Smith, was what advancement systems might exist that are even better than challenge-based XP with a sprinkling of goal-based bonuses? Now, that sort of question is hard to answer because I can't imagine anything I can't imagine. I don't dismiss the possibility that someone could come up with a better system than the ones that exist so far and all the ones that I can imagine. But putting aside what is beyond my ability to conceive, I personally think challenge-based XP is the best you're going to get with a frisson of goal-based XP if you want it. And I think that precisely because it gets to the corest core of what gameplay actually is. In the end, you want to tie advancement to gameplay. You advance by playing the game. The one thing you're always doing in a tabletop role-playing game, no matter the genre and style of play, is overcoming challenges to accomplish goals. How the game defines a challenge and how it measures whether those goals have been overcome can vary, but you can't get rid of the challenges without getting rid of the actual gameplay. So it just makes the most best sense to tie advancement right to the gameplay at its core. Additionally, the one thing that role-playing games have to provide game masters instructions for is building challenges within the system. If a game master at least knows how to throw an obstacle at the players they can overcome to accomplish a goal, the game master can make a game. The crunchier role-playing games like D&D and Pathfinder focus a lot of attention here. Since that's where attention is already focused, it's also just efficient to make that the place where you connect the advancement system, especially because that's also where you're connecting things like pacing and the difficulty knobs and all the other adventure design shit that really matters. But don't mishear me. That doesn't mean there's not a lot of room for variation. For example, I'm a big proponent of varying the XP award based on how well the players did. If my players take heavy losses or suffer a huge setback in an encounter, they'll hear me say, "I'm sorry, guys, I can't give you the full XP for that encounter. You did not win it." Likewise, if they do something decisive or avoid something impressively, I'll say, "You really knocked that one out of the park. I'm giving you extra XP for that." Do you want to encourage your players to beat encounters efficiently? Penalize them for using too many resources? Do you want them to avoid encounters? Double the XP they get for any encounter they wholly bypass. Not miss, by the way, but bypass. In the end, though, I'm hard-pressed to imagine any gameplay experience that truly counted as a gameplay experience where I wouldn't at least start with challenge-based XP and then tweak my approach to the specific goal I'm trying to accomplish. I really do think it's just the cleanest, best, and simplest starting point. The question I'm left with, and this is the rare case where I don't have an answer and I'm interested to see what others say, the question I'm left with is this. Why does there seem to be this nose-wrinkling response to tying advancement to overcoming challenges? Why do I have so many people whose tone suggests they really want me to give any other answer but challenge-based XP because they just can't stomach the idea? Especially after I pointed out that most of the stuff about only getting XP for killing monsters was a straw man, and even modern D&D tells you to give the players challenge-based XP for avoiding or evading fights. Seriously, what is it that still has your panties in a jimmy?